Okay. Steve, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about sort of your teenage years and your interest in music as it developed from being something that you enjoyed listening to going out and buying records, to then the moment when Radio 1 came to town and you started to think about a new direction.
Yeah. Well, I always look back and I think I was very fortunate that, my teenage years were probably 1966 and 5 years through that, to 70. And so we were in the period of swing in London, where the Beatles were completely ruling the world. Fashion in London with miniskirts it was swing in London. And so in swing in London, it was swing in UK. And I grew up in that period of high creativity, and the music was just churning out each week and different styles of records. It wasn't like it is today, where records are fairly similar that hit the top 20. You could have all sorts of records in the top 20 at that time, and so you get a wide range of music that you're listening to. And so it was enormously exciting, bearing in mind there was no computers, there was no texting, there was no mobile phones. So everything sort of came off the radio and some of it obviously off the TV. And I was just absolutely infatuated by the whole thing. Radio 1 had started, and the Radio 1 DJs almost overnight became personalities and stars, because they had huge audiences, everybody was listening to Radio 1, and then you would see them on a Thursday night on Top of the Pops. So they consequently were your friends, your heroes, they delivered the new music to you, and so everybody kind of looked up to them, or certainly I did. I looked up to them and thought, wow, they are just fantastic. And so I was getting increasingly more and more addicted to records. I don't know as I was addicted to artists, but I was certainly addicted to records and the different styles of records. So Radio 1 used to have the Radio 1 Roadshow, and that happened in the summer of each year. And each week or each day, they would go to a different town, and some of those would be on the beach at Southport or Bournemouth, and then they do Rochdale or Walsall. And this one day, it was Walsall's turn to host the Radio 1 Roadshow, which to me was a massive event. For 2 weeks beforehand, I was looking forward to it as soon as it was announced. And it was a big event. It was at the George Hotel in the centre of town, and we were all going to enter through the back of the George Hotel into the ballroom where the Emperor Roscoe was about to perform. Now, the Emperor Roscoe was the only American DJ on Radio 1. He was a cult star. He played all the different records, and he was a hero to everyone. So for me to go and see Emperor Roscoe play at the George Hotel Walsall was one of the biggest moments of my life up until that point. And the queue went right the way back up to the market, and I got there early. These things would go on between midday and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm there at 10:30, and the queue is right the way up market. So I stood there and I thought, I'm not going to get in. But there was a hot dog stand close to the entrance. So I said, I was with a couple of mates, and I said, listen, I'm going to go down there and get a hot dog, and then I'm just going to kind of eat the hot dog and squeeze into the front of the crowd. I'm definitely not missing this. Are you coming? No, we're not. We're going to stay in. So anyway, I went down. I bought a hot dog that I didn't really want. I ate the hot dog and squeezed my way into the queue, and therefore got into the George Hotel to see the gig. And to me, it was the most amazing moment. Emperor Roscoe was on stage, a big rig, big speakers, lights flashing, playing all the current records of the day, talking on air live to the nation, and then talking over the records to the audience he had there. And the record of that day that was stuck with me for my life was Rescue Me by Fantella Bass. When I heard that record and saw the reaction to the crowd and saw Emperor Roscoe, I looked up at that, and I still see myself now. I'm leaning against the back wall of the George Hotel ballroom, and I'm just trying to drink in the whole moment. And I just said to myself, I've got to do that. I've got to be a DJ. I've got to be controlling an audience. I've got to have a microphone and I've got to play records. At that point in time, I had no equipment, no records, no money, no nothing, but I knew that was what I had to do. And so the next phase of my life was all about preparing to do that.
And I remember you talking about sort of like the first ever paid job as a DJ being at Pelsall Community Centre. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Well, that probably took another couple of years from the moment. You know, I mean, I obviously had to buy a lot of records because you had to own your own records at the time. And so it took a long process. It was certainly a couple of years. And during that couple of years, what I did was I left school, went to technical college, left technical college, got a job, and I got any job. You know, because I just wanted to earn some money. So I was working 5 days a week at a job at Charles Richards Fasteners in Darlaston. I worked four nights a week on the petrol pumps, serving petrol. And then on a Saturday, I'd still work at Walsall Co-op shoe department for my dad. So I was working 6 days and four nights, and that's how I collected enough money to eventually be able to buy some equipment and also build my record collection to go out and do some gigs. There was other things that added to for me to be able to do that, but that's very quickly the way I kind of got that together. And then I put an advert in Walsall Observer, which basically just said mobile DJ for hire, phone Walsall 27061, which was actually my mother's phone number, which I can still remember. And fortunately, I put that in the Walsall Observer on the Friday that it came out. And on the Monday, I got a phone call. And I was asked if I'd like to play Pelsall Community Centre on a Saturday night, 2 weeks hence. And I did. And, you know, I was very nervous about it. I didn't know if the equipment would fire up. I didn't know how to fix it. You know, I was on stage with a microphone and a few records, and fortunately, the whole thing went fantastically well. And the great thing I can remember about it is about an hour into the gig, I just completely felt at home. I felt like I should be doing this. I wasn't nervous on stage. I felt like I was in command of the room and command of the records. And that started a DJ career that went on for almost 10 years.
Can you remember the first record that you played? Did you think about sort of which one you're going to do, or was it just a spur of the moment thing?
I can't recall the first record that I played that evening.
Yeah.
But most certainly I'd thought about a running order, you know, and I think as you develop as a mobile DJ, you learn which records really work, and so you develop 10 or 15 records that are almost lifesavers. You know, if the dance floor is beginning to go away from you, then you know that you have 14 or 15 bankers, and you put two on, you know, one after the other, that fills the dance floor again, and then you can move musically somewhere else once you've got the crowd back on your side. So I would say that took me a little time to learn, but I certainly would not have done a gig without knowing three or four records that would have been absolute bankers that were guarantees, you know.
Can you think of a couple of absolute home bankers from that era that if you had to sort of do something like that again?
I'd have to think about, you know, what year that was. I mean, really, I remember back in those days, Walsall was really into Northern Soul. So we were playing a lot of Northern Soul records mixed in with a lot of pop records of the day, you know. So it was a twofold thing, really. And a lot of it was very soul-based. But I can't actually remember. You know, to tell you exactly what records, I'd have to think about the year precisely, and then, you know, because I may pick a record that was 2 years hence if I just guessed right now. So I'd rather not do that.